Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Taking it right down to the wire. Gotta love live radio. Welcome inside the Sig Sauer Studios, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Walters filling your prescription for freedom today and every day in front of this Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center microphone. It's all being brought to us by the great X Insurance. Greg in Dallas, Texas. Here we are. Famous words on a Monday, right?
Yeah, here we are again.
Here we are. Where can people watch us in high definition before we go to our guest for this hour?
If you'd like to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you're going to see the menu icon. Just give that a click, and when that window opens up, select that Watch Live option. You've got a chat there as well. If you are driving, head on over to that Listen Live link, and if you've missed a previous episode, you need to get caught up, like, say, last night's MonsterCast, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join the Telegram chat, well, all you have to do is head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Boom. That'll put you right in there. Welcome to our guest, Paul Markle, student of the gun, shaking things up on a Monday. This is normally a Friday. It's not a Friday, Paul. How you doing, brother?
Oh, well, I am getting back to used to being back at home again. Been gone for a
because
couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, you've been out training. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I want to start the program today. You know, you and I talk all the time, and we talked about it last week, well, week before anyway, about, you know, being prepared and emergencies happening, right? And how you have to stay alert all the time. I want to tell you what happened to me not 40 minutes ago, Paul. 40 minutes ago, I'm driving down through my neighborhood, made a quick run to the post office before the show was airing. And on my way down a back street to my street, down at the bottom of the neighborhood, I see, you know, school bus had left and dropped off some kids, and some of the moms were pulling away in their cars when I noticed two women get out of their car and rush over to a man who was standing on the side of the street who then appeared to wobble. And I had pulled up instantly, threw my flashers on, got out, helped him, and sat him down. Come to find out, this man was losing his vision immediately. Thank God we were all there at the right moment in time. He was losing his vision, lost his stability. We sat him down on the curb, and one of the women offered to take him home. We were talking to him. He was alert, checking out. You know, I was engaging him in conversation. He seemed to be a little disoriented, Paul. And I said to the woman, who happened to be one of my neighbors, lives around the corner, I said, I don't think it's a good idea to take him home, but we need to get responders here right away. And that's when he said he had just had a brain tumor removed 3 months ago. Not a good idea to take him home and leave him at home at that moment in time. And he sat down on the curb, and I stayed on the phone with 911 operators, giving information from him to the responder on the phone, and she was relaying it to the paramedics, who were there within about 6 or 7 minutes, Paul. So you know, at that point, I just backed off and let them do their jobs. But Paul, this stuff happens in real life, just like this, brother, just like that. I'm coming down the road, not three homes from mine, when this unfolds. What's that a reminder of, Paul? We talk about this all the time. It's not about guns, but it is about guns in a way, because we have to be alert, and we had better be prepared, right? Better know the questions to ask, better know the things to look for, and better know what to tell people when they're asking questions about it in a very serious situation like this, Paul.
Well, you know, trained people who have training and education and experience are generally more useful human beings in general, you know, generally more useful human beings. And we have to understand that despite the fact that we have cell phones and, you know, we have the internet and all that, when it comes down to it, you are your own first responder. And
that's it.
It's great when people in big shiny boxes come with medical gear. That's fantastic. But we've got to be prepared to do something in the time that it takes them to get there. And there are certain injuries that can, quite frankly, kill you before the big box with the lights and the paramedics can show up. And how do we deal with that? And are we prepared to deal with that? And, you know, the information is there. The training is there. We just need to have the desire to engage in that training, in that education, and get it so that we can be that person that makes a positive difference when, you know, it's how long have we been saying when a crisis happens, when a threat happens, it's only the people who are there when it happens who will have the opportunity to do something positive, to make have a positive outcome.
Yeah, and I think probably something I'd like to throw in about the, you know, just brief little incident, ladies and gentlemen, that happened just about 45 minutes ago to me was the fact that recognizing there was something wrong immediately. Something didn't look right, Paul. Something made me say that this is going to be bad. This looks like a medical condition. I saw a couple cars drive right past. Okay. What does that say about them? Nothing. I'm not, you know, pointing fingers. But maybe they didn't see it. Maybe it to them was somebody just running up to greet somebody. I tend to approach things differently. I look at things more cautious because my head is on a swivel, and that comes from years and years of training. I know bad things can happen. I've pulled my firearm on two people when a situation unfolded. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, back in 2002, in less than 30 seconds, I had a firearm drawn on two people. I mean, when these things unfold, they unfold literally in the blink of an eye. And I'm not saying that other people might, but let's be real. Some other people, most people, I say most people, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Most people don't know what to look for, don't recognize the onset of what could become a very, very serious situation. If this individual had fallen, and God bless those women for rushing over there about the exact same time I was arriving at the same location, that also saw this. Yeah, it took 6 minutes. They did a great job getting there, ladies and gentlemen, but it took 6 minutes, Paul. 6 minutes. A lot can happen in 6 minutes.
And, no, sure can.
You know, so that's the takeaway, ladies and gentlemen, I think, is to be alert. Understand that things aren't always as they appear, right, Paul? Isn't that a good way, a safe way to look at it? Expect that something bad could be happening and be ready to respond immediately if necessary?
Well, people need to be paying attention to the world around them in order to see something transpiring. And unfortunately, you know, we live in a world where people are often so distracted and they have so many distractions, including, you know, the idiot box that we carry around. You know, it's funny, when I was a little kid, you know, adults used to refer to the television as the idiot box. But let's face facts, everyone's got an idiot box and it's in their pocket and they take it with them everywhere. And that thing can be extremely distracting.
Well, it can also be a lifesaver. In a case like this, I hearken back to the day, you know, prior to cell phones. I mean, you know, guys, cell phones have been around for a while, but we all didn't have them in our pockets really till post 07 when the iPhone came out. It was those old StarTAC phones, you know, or the 50 cent a minute, you know, singular go phones or whatever they were. But let's face it, very few people had them. They were very expensive to operate at the time. But now everybody has one. The reason I mention that is because without that idiot box, that's what it is. I hate these things. But in a situation like this, they absolutely can be lifesavers. Because back in the day, Paul, what would have happened is I would have had to rush to someone's front door to get to a phone that was closer than my home, which was five houses away. And I would have, and if someone didn't answer that door, I was going to another door. That's what you're going to have to do to call 911 to get some help there at the time. And that 6 minutes could have easily turned into 16 minutes under those circumstances. So thankfully, you know, they're there and they can do great things. Yeah, and I shudder to think, was someone else not paying attention while they were driving up because they were on their phone and that's why they didn't see what happened? I don't know. I can't answer that question, but that happens. And a lot of times it's that idiot box that's what's responsible for the incident happening because somebody's not paying attention to what they should be, and they're paying attention to that stupid thing. So there's that, Paul.
Well, how many people in what we call the Generation Z understand that they could make telephone calls with that thing?
It's not just a box for your thumbs, that's for sure. And it's kind of refreshing, you know,
a box for your thumbs. Texting 911, you know, I'm not even joking. You know, we witnessed,
sadly,
more than once an after action video that got recorded on a phone. And I saw one time we highlighted it, but a woman was filming the incident with her phone, screaming, "Someone call 911. Someone call 911
while filming an incident with her phone. Incredible. And that is remarkable to see. You know, we see the horrific videos of that young 16-year-old girl getting her head bashed in St. Louis, Missouri. I believe she is still in a coma. That's a long way to go. Good Lord. While everybody's standing around filming it and laughing, instead of jumping in to stop this young other punk kid from nearly killing her. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues. Three more segments with Paul. Don't go away. The following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, welcome back to the show. Indeed, if you're watching on your screens, well, because you're not driving and you're being safe, the phone that I'm holding up is the phone that is being ported over to Patriot Mobile as we speak. I will have all that information done for you probably this week because tomorrow is the I guess is when it's going to really start officially occurring. But you can do the same thing. Visit PatriotMobile.com. Use the promo PatriotMobile.com/AAR. Use the promo code AAR. Get free activation, just like I'm doing. And start to work with a company that has your values and spends money where you spend money. Doesn't spend your money to use against you. We don't have to name the other carriers. You know who they are. Doesn't make any difference. Patriot Mobile has your back. Support them for supporting this program. That's the way it works. You can also support all of our other partners at armedamericanradio.com. Paul Markle, student of the gun. I'll give you the last word on, you know, that incident. You know, I saw in the chat someone said that, let me see if I can find that, where talking about this preparation, this type of stuff is, in fact, you know, does it have anything to do with guns? Yeah, it does, because it's all tied together in the set that situational awareness. Right, it's the same situational awareness that we require when we're out and about on the streets every single day, Paul, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if you're carrying a gun and you've made the mental commitment or you have the mental commitment that if you needed to, you would use that, you also need to have the mental commitment to get the training, carry the gear, and be able to save someone's life. And the fact of the matter is, the person whose life you save is probably going to be one of the people that rides in a car with you every day. You know, if you close your eyes and you think about the people you see when you wake up, think about the people that are riding in the car with you on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing it. Those are the people who you're most likely to have to assist in a medical emergency.
Spot on. I want to talk a little bit about what happened in Russia. The terrorist attack over there. Have you seen the videos of that by any chance?
I have not.
I'll play theater of the mind with you. I know you've been busy, and we want to talk about your training. We'll save that best for later in the hour. But Paul, there was a horrific attack in Russia. ISIS is claiming responsibility. No reason to doubt that. You have FBI. CIA, I guess, telling people they warned Russia, Putin's debating all that. None of that's neither here nor there because the attack was real and it happened. Well over 100 people killed. And the video of the mass shooting that was occurring in real time at this looks like a shopping venue, very modern shopping venue like you'd find in any U.S. mall or something. It was a concert venue attached to it. It looked like a high-end retail place. And you had, I mean, scores of people literally being mowed down at point blank range by people with rifles in a completely, and here's the takeaway, a completely defenseless society, Paul. No one there could fight back, at least with a firearm. But I didn't see in the video I saw, I didn't see anybody attempting to go after or attack these people in a life and death situation. And if you go back and watch the video over and over again, you can picture people like in a, almost like a cubby area that were just being mowed down in groups of 15, 20 at a time with fully automatic gunfire, I might point out to ladies and gentlemen, in a state that is 100% completely gun controlled for civilians. Go figure, Paul. You know, but here we have hundreds, scores dead as a result of this in a disarmed society. You know, what I get from this, too, is I have had a conversation with a number of folks over the last few days since this attack. All of them fear the same thing here. What is your takeaway from this? What is it a reminder of us to do?
Well, if Russia only had stricter gun control laws, that would not have happened.
There you go.
You know, I mean, you're not going to, and see, I'm sure that if people who watch network television have been treated to this nonstop, but the fact is they're going to have to figure out a way to spin it around the fact that, you know, around gun control. You know, how do terrorists get weapons? Well, terrorists get weapons through illegal means, and they don't care what the law is, and bad people are always going to do that. You know, and in North America, on this side of the world, cartel members get guns from, you know, with the assistance of the United States government. So, and never forget that no one in the United States government, the Department of Justice, has been punished, has been held accountable for the gun running operation that they ran through the Mexican drug cartels. Not one person has been held accountable or been punished for that. But, yeah, to your question, could that happen in the United States? Of course it could. Of course it could. We have people in the borders of the United States. We have foreigners who hate us inside of our borders right now, who, thanks to a criminal government, were put on airplanes or buses and deposited in every major metropolitan area in the United States. And you say, well, they can't go into gun stores and buy guns. Yeah, no kidding. Thanks for telling me that. That's never where they get guns anyway. But how about the guys who just, how about the getaways or the gotaways? The people that the Border Patrol, well, they saw them, but they were just so overwhelmed that they couldn't do anything about it. And so those people just walked into the country and with backpacks on and walked away. What was in their backpacks? We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. And you're right. No one's been held accountable at DOJ, ATF, FBI. Likely isn't going to be. And talking about Fast and Furious, the gun walking episode. That's as far as they're concerned. It's a done deal. It didn't even exist at the time. They blew it off until they were forced to recognize what happened. And then they did what you just said they're going to do with the Russia issue. They're going to spin it to work to their advantage, which is, you know, promoting more gun control, however they're going to do that. Or it'll just be a complete, huge, ginormous, gargantuan lie of omission, and they don't bring it up at all. But I do fear one of those attacks happening in the United States. I'm going to make this point, ladies and gentlemen, that, and I do not remember the senator that tried to amend the spending bill. Every single Senate Democrat, Paul, voted against an amendment that would forbid taxpayer use or taxpayer funds for flying illegal aliens from their home country and depositing them in communities across the country. Every single Democrat voted against that amendment. Every single one of them. In the face of what we know is likely being planned in this country right now. What does that tell you about them, Paul?
Well, I mean, what does it tell you about their plans? The cackling hag, apparently, they put her in charge of some kind of a ad hoc panel where they're going to push a national emergency protection order, whatever. Basically, a national federal red flag where they can just arbitrarily come to your house and take your property without due process of law because you said something your neighbor didn't like or you said something that they didn't like. And that's going 7 months. Are we 7 months from the election?
Not even. Hey, we're getting ready to take a break. We'll do the math on the election during the break, and we'll come back with Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this four-minute break. See you on the flip side in 4 minutes. Guys, don't go away.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
DanielDefense.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to throw this out here. The Double D Foundation is running another raffle. And this is the custom M4A1 by Daniel Defense with the entire package. It's valued at about $5,000. You can visit thedoubledfoundation.org. Tickets are 25 apiece, 5 tickets for 100, which is the package I bought. Good, would I love to win that thing. Goodness gracious, would I love to win that thing. And Armed American Radio listeners have won 2 of the last 4 promotions run by Daniel Defense. They get thousands of entries and tickets purchased, but it's still a pretty good shot, pun intended. So make sure to head over to thedoubledfoundation.org. Buy 1 ticket, buy 5 tickets, buy 10, buy whatever you can, and take a shot. You're supporting youth shooting sports, supported by the Double D Foundation. The website, again, the double D, the letter D, thedoubledfoundation.org. Pick up some raffle tickets over there, and good luck. I would love to see another Armed American Radio listener win that incredible package, that custom package from Daniel Defense. It's valued at about $5,499 is what they have on the site, so figure $5,000. Good luck. Head over there. Pick up a ticket. Support a great cause. And support the people that support the show, and you might walk away with a fantastic rifle package. Unbelievable stuff. Paul Markle, student of the gun. Welcome back in, my brother from another mother.
So did you do the math?
8 months.
Yes, 8 months.
See, let me count them on my fingers again. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 8 months. I counted it out on my fingers.
There you go. So 8 months away from a national election for president of the United States. And what do we know? We know that in a sane world, in the previous world that we lived in, that you never push gun control going into a national election because it's a dead issue. It's a bad issue. It's a losing issue. They know that. They know that there are more people in the United States that own guns than do not. There are more gun-owning households than are non-gun-owning households. They know, based upon the sales numbers, that Americans want to buy guns. You know, Americans vote with their wallets more often than not. And when Americans vote with their wallets, and we have, you know, we've had in the last decade, national record sales. They know in Washington D.C. that the average American does not want more restrictions. They don't want more gun control. They don't want assault weapons bans. They don't want any of that. They know that. You understand? They know it, and they don't care. And we need to ask ourselves, why don't they care? And they're political animals. They're not going to do anything that they would not do anything that they thought would jeopardize their chances of getting elected. So why would they do that, knowing that it's a losing issue, knowing that you don't push gun control, you push moderation? This is the time when Democrats are supposed to be historically moving to the center.
Correct.
This is the time they talk about national defense. This is the time that they talk about schools. This is the time they talk about health care. This is the time they talk about all those issues that, you know, they're
not anymore.
Like they're dummy issues. You know, everybody wants good schools for their kids, right? You know, everybody wants good health care, right? But they're not. And that should be alarming to everyone in the nation, that they're moving forward with these polarizing issues. You know, national defense and protecting the border is always a center-middle issue. You know,
used to be.
It used to be.
should be. Let's say that. It should be. It used to be. And I like the way you phrase that, in a sane world. Let me go. This is a place. Let me segue here briefly, because I was looking online during the break, and I popped over to the Drudge Report. I've been having a lot of fun going over to the Drudge Report lately. It's a place I hadn't visited in a long time since it moved far left. But, guys, the media narrative being created about Donald Trump now is remarkable. The top story in the center column, Paul, on the Drudge Report, formerly known as the Drudge Report in my book, forensic psychiatrist fears Don's changes in gait may signal dementia. So now it's not Biden that you see falling and stumbling over his words and wearing clown shoes and going up short steps and falling off his bike and tripping over sandbags and misspeaking every time he's out. It's not Biden that's holding the cards. Now it's Donald Trump is the one with dementia. This is the evilness, Paul, of what's happening out there. This is the gaslighting of what's going on, because they know most people are going to look at that headline and move on. Go, oh, what? Some forensic psychiatrists think that Donald Trump has dementia. And it's a shift. It's a pivot away from what we see with our own eyes and what we know to be the case with Joe Biden. You put the two of them together, there's no comparison. Donald Trump's on his game. Joe Biden can't speak. And it's a joke. And it kind of dovetails with what we were just talking about there. I saw that, and I just kind of wanted to bring that up. Because, again, let's go back to your question. You and I have asked it many, many, many times over the years. What is it about that agenda that is keeping them from pivoting right now? Why? Why are they? And let's try to tackle that for a minute. Why are they continuing? And, guys, we've talked about this for the last few months, that they are, in fact, doubling, tripling, and quadrupling down on their push for gun control. Kamala Harris was just at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in a despicable display. We talked about it with Parkland Father Ryan Petty last night, who's very angry and frustrated about what he witnessed down there at that, what he calls, hallowed ground. And it is that it's being politicized. So, Paul, why?
Well, of course
you say they're political animals, but what's their purpose? Let's try to dig into that. When they know everything that you just said is true, why?
Well, what I would like to know is where are the analysts? Where are the political analysts, the people that are supposed to be in the fourth estate, bringing this up, highlighting this, saying, you know, we're not going into a national election. You always move toward the center. And then, you know, if and when you win, then you go to your, you know, go to your base issues. Your you know, abortion is another one. Abortion.
Well,
is,
you
is,
spend some political capital after a victory, after you've pivoted to the center, and you have some political capital to spend. You're correct. But,
right.
You know, you mentioned where are the pundits, for example? What do we get today? Britt Hume, Karl Rove, Bret Baier. You know, the clowns at any of the alphabet soup networks. I mean, it's not just politicians that are aging, Paul.
No,
I mean, those of us that have a few years on us look back at this and think these same clowns are still out there. Get some new blood in here.
And why are they not? You know, why are they not? That's another question that we should be asking. Why are they not making these points? Why is it you and I, two dudes on a gun radio show, pointing out what should be obvious to everyone? And we need to ask ourselves, so what do they know that we don't know? Or, well, we do know, but what do they know? I mean, when you have a dementia patient and this cackling hag who are clinging to these polarizing issues,
right.
Going into a national election, why? They don't have any advisors? They don't have any political advisors in their party? Yeah, they do. And let's face facts. The fact is they no longer care about your vote. They no longer care about the votes of the American people. And you said, why did all the Democrat senators vote against that amendment? Because the people they're bringing in are your and my replacements. There are replacements. Those are the replacement voters. Those are the replacement heads. The you know, when they amended the census so that they just count human bodies in a district, not registered voters.
Yeah, it changes the
voters.
Makeup of the district. It changes
filled, you know, with illegals.
Well, then you got to look at the gerrymandering of the districts, and you know it flips. They add another House seat over here. They pick up another Democrat. That's how it all ties together, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting ready to take another break here. Paul, when we come back, good questions for you to think about, ladies and gentlemen, over the break. And you know, when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, hopefully you're thinking about it. And I know Armed American Radio listeners do that. When we come back, Paul, I want to talk about what you accomplished in Tennessee and in Texas, where you were traveling and training. And you'll tell us a little bit about that, because I've seen some of the pictures. It was great stuff. We'll be back. One more segment with Paul Markle, student of the gun.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Back to the show. Welcome back in, guys. 6 Hour Studios lit up for you. Patriot Mobile, Mike. All of it brought to you every day by the great X Insurance. Please visit all of our partners. You can find them all at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. We've got one more segment with Paul Markle in this hour of the show. Paul, welcome back, brother. So, you started out, I guess, in Tennessee, right? Is that where your little training tour began? Was in Tennessee?
Well, we, and then wound we up started in Texas? Out west.
Okay, worked your way over.
Yeah, we worked our way over. Now we actually stopped and visited our friends at Brownells over there in Iowa, and
good stuff.
Spent some time with my mom in Ohio. Then we drove to Tennessee, where we conducted the martial application of the pistol class, the P-201, which is a two-day class. Did that at the tactical response range. Then we took a day off, and we drove down to Texas, and we went to a little town. Well, we weren't in the town, obviously. We were out in the country. It's called Mount Enterprise, but it's close to Nacogdoches. So if you know your East Texas geography, it's close to the city of Nacogdoches. And we did a martial application of the pistol class again, another one, and then we did the rifle class. So we did three classes while we were on the road.
Was it a tactical rifle? Was it long range? What was it? Get specific on the rifle.
The martial application of the rifle is a fighting rifle. It's using a centerfire rifle as a power tool. So anywhere from 5 yards, 15 yards, 50 yards, you know, that it's not long. The long range stuff we do in Wyoming, because we stretch it out up there.
Now, does it entail you teaching, for example, running a wall, anything of that nature? Is it point, shoot, stand? What is it? Is it a basic class? Is it more advanced?
The martial application of the rifle, the R-201 class, it's a two-day fundamentals class. It's how to run the gun. Run the gun, and when we look at an AR-15 or any other self-loading rifle, we look at that as a power tool, as a defensive power tool. Because you know, we all know, if we have the discussion, that a rifle is a far better man stopper or criminal stopper or felon stopper than a handgun is. And so when it comes to our homes, you're better off having a rifle inside of your home to defend your home than you're a handgun, because quite frankly, it's more effective of a tool. You know, and if we have an effective tool, we need to know how to use it. And so, we do that. It's a great class. Well, if I may say so myself, it's a great class. We had a lot of fun. We did get a little bit of weather, but it's all right. We pushed through it.
Weather can get nasty at this time of year in that area of the country, particularly up through Tennessee, right?
East Texas mud. We had some East Texas mud to deal with, but that's all right. Had a lot of great students, very diverse. We had fathers and sons. We had fathers who brought their wives and their daughters. We had husbands and wives come to the pistol classes. I think everyone had a good time. Everyone was safe and effective, and they learned a lot. And that's what it's all about.
The fundamental rifle classes are fun. I've taken a number of them, and they are fun. I mean, those are classes, ladies and gentlemen, you could take over and over and over again and never get bored. And I think the neat part about those, when you're taking fundamental classes like that, you always learn something new in every fundamental class you take.
Well, you should.
You always come away with something different about that rifle that you didn't know before. And I mean, I've done them all with, prone and, you know, the walls and all the various scenarios and behind vehicles and everything. And those are fun classes, too. But just practical, fundamental, basic classes, in my estimation, are the funnest classes to take of all. Because they're really what a real-world situation is really going to truly look like, unless you're kicking indoors, right? And you mentioned that about, you know, pistols and rifles. I think it was Clint Smith, if you go back to the day, that, you know, you use your pistol to fight your way to your rifle, right? Isn't that what he used to say? I think it was Clint Smith.
Yeah, that was Clint who said that. And, you know, that he was just highlighting the fact that we carry handguns out of convenience, you know.
Right.
They're convenient, and we can conceal them, and we can move about our day, and nobody is any of the wiser. But when you're in your home, you don't need to conceal it. You don't need to hide it. And if you had multiple crackheads smash your door in at 3 a.m., you're far better wrapping your arms, better off wrapping your hands around a rifle than a handgun.
Yeah, and you know, a takeaway from that, ladies and gentlemen, is that means that the rifle has to be accessible to you. Okay? Ask yourself this question. How many of you have an AR-15, and where is it located? Is it locked away in your safe? Can you get to it? Is it downstairs in a room? Is it in a basement safe? Is it in a garage safe? How come it's not leaning against the wall? How come it's not locked in a particular mechanism that's accessible to you instantly? Paul, do you find most people don't have the rifle immediately accessible to them?
Not after they take training.
Not after. Well, there you go. That's effective training, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we would expect to see.
Well, and you want to have confidence with the tool, and that's what training is all about. It's having genuine, real confidence in the tool and your own abilities to use that tool if called upon.
Paul, there's a story out of, I want to say it was Florida. I could be mistaken by that. I had it on my docket for last night and didn't get to it. Of a deputy on a call got into a shootout when a neighbor also came to the deputy's aid, and the neighbor and the deputy shot it out with and won the altercation. And the deputies and the sheriff thanking and mentioning to the public through the media that this was a prime example of armed civilians and law enforcement working together to take down a threat. And I got to be honest with you, that was incredibly refreshing to hear. But that's not something you're going to hear come out of media in a state like Illinois or New York or California or Jersey, is it? They're not going to talk about the positive use and the work that civilians, because we all know law enforcement officers, if you go to Police One, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the numbers in hundreds of thousands are staggering, that police officers love knowing that there's armed civilians out there that can come to their aid. Paul, go ahead and take us to the break.
No, you're absolutely right. And the only way that you can do that, the best way to do that, is to have genuine confidence in your own ability to use that. And you know, we run people through numerous scenarios. And some of the scenarios are difficult. And the reason they are is because we want people to come away with a very real understanding of their abilities, not a manufactured one or not a fantasy. You know, if you had to use this under a real situation, would you be able to do it?
Would you know how to run this tool? And it's a system at that point. You need to know how to run the system. You need to know how to run that tool. There's no doubt. Paul, great stuff, as always. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it very much. I know you've had a very busy week, and it's going to be a very busy week here as well. Tell people where to go. SOTGU.com, right? And anywhere else.
Yes. No, the calendar is open. We've got dates all summer long for shotgun, rifle, pistol. Go to SOTGU.com and sign up for one of our classes. We'd love to see you.
It's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Markle, student of the gun, SOTGU.com. Thanks, Paul, for being here and for everything that you do and for everything that you bring to this show. You are a fan favorite, longtime fan favorite, for a reason. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard him. All right, this hour of Armed American Radio is now in the bag. Those West Coast stations will be getting select West Coast stations will be getting a second hour of the broadcast. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is here for you Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 Pacific. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. Enjoy your day. We'll see you on the radio. Second hour coming up on West Coast stations.
just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.